Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Cogsworth and Lumiere from Beauty and the Beast. You know, the clock
and the little candlestick.
And the candlestick.
Mm-hmm.
The whole movie they spend just trying to like set up and make Belle like fabulous and beautiful. If they aren't their OG queer eye for the straight eye, I don't know.
Yeah, honestly, we're going to spend a lot of time in this episode talking about queer villains and how they're portrayed in these Disney movies, but this is like a kind of an effeminate portrayal that I can get behind.
Right?
Kind of here for it. Just, you know, make it canon.
Make it canon, you guys. Don't be lame. A candlestick and a clock can be in love.
Yes, exactly.
I don't buy
that ending where they turn into like humans and then
magically
this is a cursed child all over again. You know what? No. What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? What's goody?
Not much. Well, I mean, a lot of things are actually goody because today's Christmas Eve. And I mean, I don't think either you or I are particularly religious, but we like to party.
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, it's just kind of like a feliz, like, fucking party. Like,
feliz time off work and time with family. For those of you who are into that, some people aren't, you know?
Yeah. Like, if not, just hang out with yourself and get drunk and just be happy. Like, you're live. We're live. Woo!
Yes, we were live on Instagram just a bit ago. I'm going to apologize in advance. I'm a little sniffly today. I'm going to do my best to edit all that out. But I got the Christmas sniffles. So.
The Christmas sniffles. And by the time this releases, I'm going to be even happier because it's my birthday.
Yeah,
Shout out.
She prefers her birth to the birth of Jesus Christ.
I mean, was he really born the 25th, though?
You know, time is a construct. I mean, nothing really matters.
Nothing really matters. I like to, if people that are uptight about it, I always just got to be like, I like to piss them off and say Jesus was a Capricorn.
Okay.
That makes him question everything. I think he was a Pisces. But anyways.
I feel that. And for those of you who don't 100% have our voices down, our personalities down, one whose birthday it is Fried Papita. So go hit her up on her Twitter at Fried Papita and say happy birthday and all that shit. Or in our comments on Instagram on CYC Podcasts. Or wherever, or leave us a review and be like, hey, happy birthday.
Yes.
On iTunes.
Yes.
So do all that shit. She's inching towards that big 3-0.
No, don't. Let's not talk about it ever. Oh my God. Yeah, I'm getting old. But
yeah, we're getting up there.
We're getting old and wrinkly.
Those handsome grays.
I already got them.
So do I.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Shout out. It's my birthday, so we're going to have, like, a really, really fun episode today. Like, we planned this months in advance, so I'm super hype on, like, what we're going to talk about today. So what are we going to talk about today, Maitha?
Disney.
On ice. No. Definitely not on ice. No, but yeah. So I'm hype.
For sure.
What are we doing? We're doing
Disney movies. Mm-hmm. And this visual came into my mind of these stacks of VHS tapes that my aunt had. I was out, my family was not rich as fuck, but my aunt, she has some bank, and I would go to her house all the time and with my cousins, and we'd watch all these Disney movies because they had everything. They had stacks of VHSs when I was little.
That's lit.
They had all the fucking movies. So that's how I watched it. That's how I would watch them. You know, they weren't at my house, but I would go to my aunt's and watch these movies over and over again. Without knowing all the ins and outs and problematic and also good representation within them.
Oh, shit. Yeah, we're looking back now, like, grown as fuck and going, oh, my God, this shit's fucked up. And then some of it's just gotten better with time.
Some of it, like, has, you know, a significance that we can really appreciate in a new way, even. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to talk about it today. But I kind of want to, this is something that I've been looking at a lot today, especially queerness in these Disney movies, obviously in the canon, hardly exists. Only really in this last decade has there been just like a little bit of it, just a little sprinkle
of some queer.
Uh-huh. But you know, back in the day,
oh God,
what was read as queer, I mean, what was it? you tell me, you know exactly what it was. The only thing that was read as queer in all these movies.
Yeah. So which one out of the many?
The villains.
Oh, okay. Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't be, like, any kind of, like, effeminate, or you couldn't mess with the gender without being the actual villain in the whole fucking movie. And I just don't, I don't buy that. I don't think I bought that when I was little, you know? I was just kind of like, okay.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, obviously I never looked at Scar or Ursula or whatever and thought when I was a kid, oh, this is a queer person. Like, that wasn't what came to my mind. I was just thought, this is evil. And then, of course, the problem with that is that later it ties in whenever society kind of pushes upon you the thought that being gay is bad. Those things tie in together, like, oh yeah, like, I've had, you know, effeminate men, like, I've seen them as villains my whole life. Mm-hmm. You know,
you've been brought up that way. That's right. Like a form of brainwashing. So it's like, it's fucked up. And not just that, like, anything like breaking any kind of like gender norm back in the 90s in a Disney movie, that was like, whoa, what are you doing? Like, you're not supposed to be stepping out of line here. So
right.
And we're gonna explore that later on when we cover like Mulan and Brave, talking about some stepping specifics. Out of that gender.
Mm-hmm. But I just want to like banter a little more about these villains. I think that yes, they're super problematic, but they're also super interesting to talk about. You may agree or disagree with me.
Yeah. No. And I mean, the first example, the one that always comes to mind for us, is like two things. So Scar in The Lion King is like, when we're watching it as children, we don't really notice it, but you know, he's unmarried, he's kind of effeminate, he kind of fucks with the gender norm and the way that he expresses his gender as a cartoon lion.
Yeah, with him it's even more interesting because they literally try to portray him as darker, like not only in like as a being, but literally darker, like
fur.
Yeah. So there's, I thought, to me that kind of read as problematic a little bit too, is that like, oh, light skin means good, bad, dark skin means bad, like that's fucked to me. But you know, Lion King never really like fully buys into that, as you know, not as much as like I almost kind of thought it was, especially with the Lion King too. But the one thing that's for sure is that Scar is, yeah, this dude who's like not with just like a woman or whatever, and he's this dude that like is very like lazy and does all these hand movements, the paw movements, I should say.
They're very flamboyant, you know, his paw movements, they're like expressive in a way that literally none of the other lions are doing.
Mm-hmm. So like all these things, like they lead you to think like, oh, when men are feminine, that's negative.
Yeah. Even up to the way that like he would walk, he had kind of like a little swish to it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was, like, rewatching, I thought it was actually cool. I was like, all right, shout out Scar. Like, but, I mean, you don't have to murder your brother, bro. You know, like...
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
So that's a big one that comes to mind for me. Another one that I think people don't necessarily hate, especially nowadays, especially, and after finding out that Ursula on The Little Mermaid was actually based on a real life drag queen named Divine, who the person who created this character they grew up in a same, like a same area, so that's how they knew of her or them. So that's unfortunately, I guess, even though Divine was the inspiration, Divine the person who acted as Divine died before ever seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
But all their friends, you know, always said like, oh, He would have loved it.
That's Divine.
Yeah, that, and like he would have appreciated the interpretation. But you know, we kind of go back to, it's still like, you know, it's a queer thing.
It is a queer thing, and like you said, like there's a resurgence of everyone realizing that like, was Ursula wrong, or did the Little Mermaid did Ariel just like break her contract? Like,
God, I mean. That's definitely up for discussion.
Sold your soul, boo, just to impress some dude with legs. And look, homegirl just took your voice and she made a deal. And when she became a human, she was super hot. So shout out to Ursula becoming a super hot, like, fake person.
Oh, my God.
What? You know, she was.
I don't know. I don't even want to comment there, because the other part of it is that, like, you know, her being fat, like, it's supposed to make her ugly, and that makes me upset as well. I'm like, you know, like, I don't know. that
I
also
think she was a smart
me.
Businesswoman, honestly.
I thought she was super cool. A lot of people were calling her a lesbian for a long time.
I was into that theory too.
But then I respect the drag queen history there.
I like both of them, but I know it's based on Divine, so that changes the way when people say, "Oh, she was a lesbian." I was like, I thought she's queer. Like, she's definitely queer.
Yeah, there's queerness in the gender part of it. Yeah, for sure.
And I like what she was doing with gender. She said, fuck this hair. I'm going to have it cute and short because it makes sense for me. I'm going to run my fucking business. I'm going to get all these souls. I'm going to snatch all these souls from fishes. From fish. I was really into it. I liked her whole thing when I rewatched it. I was like, this bitch is a boss-ass bitch. She just happens to be a kind of a mean, but that's okay. That's what happens. You gotta be out here. She's a capitalist.
God. Yeah, and there's a couple of other villains that we'll talk about, but within the context of the movies that we're gonna get a little more into, which is Pocahontas and Mulan, and actually this is gonna be, we should probably go ahead and talk about this, but the majority of this episode is gonna be on this episode that you're literally currently listening to, and then we're probably, since there's so much to talk about, we're gonna split it and post the rest of it for our Patreon supporters.
Yes.
So at some point here, we're probably gonna have a smooth ending and then continue on our conversation on patreon.com/USC podcast. So yes, if you guys want to hear a little bit more, on that episode we'll talk about like Moana, Hunchback of Notre Dame, Beauty and the Beast, Incredibles 2, on those particular episodes. But we have a bunch that we're gonna talk about on this episode, so you're not gonna like lose all of our opinions or anything like that.
No, yeah, and you guys can subscribe to Patreon, and it starts at like $3 a month.
Even starts at $1, yeah. $1. But for
if you want to actually listen to the episode, you have to start at the $3 level. But you're welcome to do that, and you can even do like Arguiris. You can be on Concha Gang, you can be on Cafecito Gang, like who's ever click you want to join. Or you can just do, like I said, Arcoides, which is $10 a month, and subscribe to some two brown fucking queer girls trying to make some shit work out here, okay? We making it pop off nothing, okay? Mythe is out here working and editing, so, you know, anything that you give us goes directly back into the podcast. We don't just buy tacos with it. We wish, but we don't.
All right, well, we're done pontificating. Let's get started. Let's get down to business.
To defeat the Huns.
Oh, all right.
Fucking art.
I also want to mention, you know, we're not just bitching about the gay villain thing like for no reason. The other thing that's a problematic thing is that literally, even when they're not villains, there's always a more effeminate or like quote unquote weaker man that helps establish a straight character's manliness. They're used.
Mm. You mean like Timon and Pumbaa and the Lion King?
That's one example. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
We'll get into that later on on the Patreon movie.
Yeah, it's always like, oh, this guy's weak, this guy's effeminate, and then there's a big, strong, straight man coming to take your princess or whatever the fuck.
Beauty and the Beast.
And you know what's funny is that there's actually some people out there who are like, you know what, if you want to make a villain gay, make him gay, but at least do it right. Don't just like hint at it, fucking say it, give him a boyfriend, whatever the fuck, like just quit like just using them, you know what I mean? At least pay the respect to the people, whether they're villains or not, which is something that like you said, we will get more into in the Patreon episode, like for Incredibles 2, for example. Why don't we start off with you talking a little bit about how much you love a little old movie called Brave.
Oh, I love Brave. Oh my god. Okay, guys. So I stan Brave like I did in 2012, like I do now in 2018. It's based around, if you guys haven't seen it, it's about a little redheaded Scottish princess from one of this random clan, this tribe. And she's actually fighting for her own hand in marriage because she's really fucking with the gender expectations in her tribe and her clan in her society. And I just find it super interesting that this chick feels that empowered to fight for herself, fight for the way she chooses to express herself. I think that's really beautiful. So she's, it starts off in the movie where she, you're kind of getting an intro to who she is as a person, and she's like out here doing like fucking archery, she's doing horseback riding, she's like climbing fucking mountains to, I don't know, look at waterfalls. Like, she's amazing. She's this outdoorsy chick. Like, if she was a canon lesbian, she'd be like the camping one, you know, the one with the kayak thing on the top of her Jeep. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of lesbian she is.
The rack.
Yes, she has the kayak rack on her fucking Jeep, and that's what she does for fun. We know who she is, okay? We know who she is. We all know. We've seen her. But the cool thing about her is that she's the oldest in her family, and she's, you know, there's this whole idea that's still super present today, whether you like to believe it or not, is that there's often this idea that you can basically like sell your daughter. Like, she's a possession. Like, she belongs to you. And
shout out to Mulan.
Ooh, we'll get to that. I love that shit. But the best part about her is that they're trying to sell her off to, you know, the strongest man. And so they're not just making a commentary on like gender expectations as a woman. They're making a commentary on like masculinity, toxic masculinity. What does it mean to be a man surrounded by amazing women? And often the best part of it is that they're like the favorite. They use them as like a plot point to laugh at. Every single man in Brave is just someone to laugh at. None of them are seen other than as comedic relief. Like, her father is this big, strong oaf, basically, and he's the king, and he's supposedly the ruler, but the one, in fact, who's good at politics is the mother. The one who's able to control a rowdy crowd of men is the mother, again, the queen. So it's so funny, because I can compare this to, like, being the perfect Mexican daughter, because while the mother is placing all these kind of weird backwards gender expectations on a daughter, at the same time, she's not actually living that truth. She's doing things that she doesn't even notice are gendered to her specifically. So she'll be the one that's the politician. She'll be the one that's organizing everything that makes sense. The father is just there to be like brute force.
This is very much telling of like that kind of machismo. And then I think there's a saying, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but basically what it means is that even though machismo and the patriarchy, like, this is, it's for men and it aids them, it's mothers who always end up perpetuating it, and it's like not their fault, right? Like, that's, it's shitty to blame the mother.
They've been brainwashed
too. Yeah, so it's interesting that to see it in across cultures, across the board.
Yeah, it's kind of like, we could maybe compare it to like a Trump supporter and white women. This is what like white women are. Like, that, you know, the 55% that voted for Trump or whatever. 53?
I can't remember.
Yeah, it was
a lot.
It was a lot of white women. And so I would compare her mother to like a white Trump supporter, white woman Trump supporter, where they hate themselves, but at the same time, they...
It's been a minute since I've seen this movie. Like,
bro, okay, no, I don't feel like I'm making a leap. So she's expecting all these things from Merida that she's not. Mm-hmm. She's like, you have to be like this. You have to be, this is how it is to be a woman. You have to be tidy. You have to be clean. You know how Mulan
sounds like my mom, to be honest.
You know, they all want you to be tidy and clean, but like, you know, she wants her to be quiet. She wants her to be not an individual and think more as of the community. And whereas Merida is very like individualistic, she's like kind of, you know, what is it called when they're, she's just kind of setting her own pace. She's doing things at her way. I mean, that's independence, and that's like the same thing I feel queer people can relate to, is that she's fighting to be herself every moment, and she knows that whatever she is not what other people are used to seeing. So she's really just fighting to be herself, to be human. And I think that's what queer people always have to fight for. It's like, we grow up thinking we're normal and other people thinking that we're just fucking weird, and we have to learn to turn that off so to make other people happy. And we have to learn to maybe, like, sometimes it becomes self-hate, sometimes it becomes, it manifests itself in different ways. And I just feel like Merida is doing a really interesting thing by like breaking away from gender norms and the expectation of her to marry some other dude just to keep a bunch of people happy instead of making herself happy. And I think that's brave, and I think queer people are brave in that same aspect.
I agree.
Gnarly.
Yes.
And now I'm going to jump off my Brave thing because we got plenty to cover and I'm super excited in what you're going to cover.
I agree with everything that you say. And then in Moana is another one of those movies that doesn't have a love interest. And I fucking love that shit. Just let girls just, you know, do their thing. Like, who needs love?
Let them go off on a boat in the middle of the sea for no reason other than because they want to explore. Like, that's badass.
Yeah, or, like, save their people, you know. That's all that shit. Ooh. So, the question is, which one comes first? Mulan or Pocahontas?
Bro.
Closes her notebook. Oh, fucking just settles into the abyss. Well,
Pocahontas is more problematic than Mulan is. Mulan, looking back, is a perfect fucking movie.
It's, yeah, nearly perfect.
Nearly perfect. Pocahontas, on the other hand.
Pocahontas is that movie that, like, I look back nostalgically at, like, a lot. Like, where I'm like, oh, Pocahontas, like, such a badass, such a beauty. Mm-hmm. And then I watch it and I'm just, like, sick. You know what I mean?
The soundtrack bangs, though.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'd change my mind if somebody sang Colors of the Wind to me, too. But, I mean, this whole thing is just, like, sad. And the thing is that, like, it almost kind of calls itself out. Like, from the beginning, you start off with the colonizers, right? You, like, this is, it's straight up with, like, these people who are, like, sad little members of European white society. So they have to go and take advantage of other people. They have to go and literally take someone else's land and try to conquer something in order to be seen as better. You know what I mean? To seen as whole, to be seen as, like, whatever the fuck it is that they need to see themselves as. And they try really hard to make John Smith out to be something else, but he's also talking about these people are savages, these people are all these Indians, blah, blah, blah. He uses all these, like, harsh words that he doesn't even comprehend himself. He just, all he sees is something for him to conquer, something for him to boost his own ego or whatever it is, or just to make his own life better. And in comparison, the other colonizers are fucking, they just want money, they just want gold or whatever. Just because he wants an adventure versus gold, that doesn't make him that much better to me.
No.
At all.
Like, he still called them savages.
He still wants to go and tame them. He still puts himself on this pedestal. And so he goes or whatever, and he's literally about to kill this woman just because she's brown. Like, they go and
he didn't kill her because she was fine. That's why he was like, oh, wait, she's beautiful.
Right. Men think, literally, this is so toxic. Men think that because...
The fuck?
Because they treat a woman better, because they find them attractive, like... That makes them, that means that they're respecting them. I'm like, you're not respecting them. You just start to see it as your own property. And your property is what you're not treating badly, not this human being.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So, like, the fact that they think, oh, like, he spared her and saw her humanity. No, he didn't. He saw something to conquer. You know what I mean?
To fucking own and colonize. And that's all he saw her as.
Right. And she saw... What's sad is that, like, she sees through him, and it's like she's kind of portrayed as, like, a very smart and intuitive woman, but she still, like, falls for the dude. You know what I mean? She sings this entire fucking song about colors and the wind, and literally tries to school him, and apparently that's enough. You know what I mean? Like, I guess the other part that really frustrated me is that all it took for them to be able to communicate was some sort of fucking magic. Like, yeah. The wind moved. And all of a sudden, they understood each other. That's not how that works in a real world situation. Like, these people, they're not gonna understand each other. They don't have the same experiences. They don't have the same wants and needs.
The way I took it was that Pocahontas is smart enough to learn English immediately. Not that he learned her language. No. I just took it as, like, oh, Pocahontas is such a bad bitch that she just learned English.
Boom. I feel that.
That's what I thought. I mean, multilingual queen. You know, that's all.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, honestly, in real life, people of color or people in other countries other than America, they all learn English. And fucking Americans are always talking shit about their accents and shit when they don't bother to learn a damn other
they
word.
They go to a whole nother country for vacation, don't even know the motherfucking language, and still be mad.
Yeah, shut get mad fuck. About like, shit. Like, just shut up. Dude, just stop. I don't know, it felt lazy to me, but whatever. Like, the point is that, like, she tries to school him, and in my eyes, I'm like, oh, she's right. Like, she's badass. She's like, of course they're not savages. Of course they're smart. Of course they're great, beautiful people. But she still likes this dude. She likes this dude for what? For what? What did you do? Like,
he didn't do shit. He brought some little bum ass cookies. Looked dry as fuck.
Showed her a compass. You know, like,
she was the one that was like, this is my beautiful motherfucking land. We're going to jump off waterfalls and I'm not even going to die. Like, it's going to be a diving fest.
Right. And it's like, I guess, like, I don't know. What bothers me too is that I think I've seen couples like that before where it's like, they're completely different, but they have in common that they're both adventurous and that's enough. I'm like, dude, like, no, like,
he brought nothing emotionally into the relationship. Honestly, she was doing all of this fucking labor. She's saving his life from her own dad trying to fucking kill him. And I was like, girl, you should have just told him to leave. Just leave, motherfucker. We wouldn't have this problem.
Mm-hmm.
But Kokum wasn't exactly a shining fucking object of, you know, not right. machismo. Like, he was out there wilding as well. So,
yeah, men are trash. I mean, even like, they show that somewhat problematic point there in their community, in Pocahontas' community, where she's basically, like we're talking about earlier, kind of being like sold to the highest bidder. You know what I mean? Like, he's a good guy. He's going to build you a strong house. She, like, Pocahontas has no interest in that. Like, what the fuck? Like, she... And what's actually, well, there was this one line that was really funny to me, because men are constantly telling women to smile. She says a comment about him where she's like, okay, yeah, he has a great smile. And then it pans over to him and he's like deadpanned because he's like such smiling. A serious dude. And I'm like, dude, okay.
There's like children like literally climbing him and he has no expression.
Yeah.
He's just standing there. I was like, oh God, you're fun.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I don't know. I guess mostly I want to talk about like the fact that he's not a redeemable character to me. They try to redeem him and they try to redeem the other soldiers. Basically everyone except for the flamboyant governor. That's the only one they can't mm-hmm. redeem, because that one's a little gay
mm-hmm.
with his little puppy dog or whatever and that he treats mm-hmm. better than he treats human beings. You know, that's peak white too. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
so he literally, these people don't, the soldiers other than John Smith, they're not gonna go against this evil governor until one of their own gets hurt. You know what I mean? Like, it's they know what he's doing is wrong. Even a couple of them speak up against him, like, we're stealing their land, we're like, you know, we're doing all kinds of savage shit to them, that's why they're mad. And then the governor disagrees, but they still don't go against him until he accidentally shoots John Smith, and that's when it matters. Like, in all these movements, it doesn't matter until it's a white kid or a white woman or someone white that gets hurt. And that's exactly what happened in this movie. And they made that okay. They made that seem like that was his redeeming quality. Like, that was what made John Smith, you're all right by me. You know, you kind of took a bullet for the chief, and that was enough. You know what I mean? Like, that was just him being a white savior. You know what I mean? It was just him wanting to, like, appease his own ego or whatever the fuck. Like, none of this, like, was... I'm sure there would have been other shit where he actually could have done a real sacrifice in order to stop these people from getting hurt.
I mean... Had he just not been her love interest, had they been, like, maybe just friends, and he would have dipped out, and that she would have saved everyone, then maybe. But it still centered around too many white people for me, and it's literally called Pocahontas. It's centered around, like, John Smith way more than I would have ever motherfucking liked. Mm-hmm. I just wanted more Pocahontas and her friends.
Her friend, dude, like, that chemistry, that's where...
They were so cute together. Yeah. They had jokes, they had funny things.
The little moment where they, like, literally turn over the canoe and they're so playful with each other.
Oh, my God.
And then they're, like, in the canoe with their heads up. A wasted
moment, right?
Literally, like, that's, like, the gayest thing I've ever fucking heard of. Like, they're just in there talking to each other, like, underneath a literal hood. It's almost like a closet. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And then plus they have that playful relationship that she kind of seems to insinuate that she wants. And then the other friend, like, I mean, I think they just kind of, like, force her to act like this dude's attractive or whatever. I think it can be very easily changed into a much better story.
She should have picked her friend, mm-hmm. honestly. And I think her friend wanted her to pick her, too. Like, let's be real. Like, let's keep it 1,000. Like, they already had chemistry. They emotionally gave, you know, give and take. And
could have been a Xena type of story, like, but no.
Right. Oh my God, imagine.
Yeah, I do.
Write that shit time. Right there. Write that
I'm
shit.
Working on it.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm sure you have some things. I'm going to let you talk about, like, the movie a little bit, because I'm sure you have some things to say.
I mean, okay. Like...
Politically, especially, or, like, historically, like, these motherfuckers are fucking a-holes. Like, how are they so glorified? Like, how could a story called Pocahontas begin with these white men? How could they do that?
Honestly, I mean, I guess... I mean, the whole movie, we're meant to care about these white people that are colonizing fucking America. And when you're on the other side of that, when you're an adult and you see that shit, you're like, wait a minute, Pocahontas, don't go anywhere near the colonizer. Like, fight these motherfuckers off. They just want to kill you all. Why do you have any kind of empathy for this white boy? Like, fuck him. Like, I'm all for interracial relationships where... do your thing, you love who you love, you can't help that shit, but this ain't one of them situations. Like, when your boyfriend's like whole family trying to kill you and take your whole fucking land, like, okay, there's just something wrong about that. It's unhealthy. There's like such an unhealthy balance, and there's this like unhealthy expectation of what each gender is supposed to bring to a relationship. Like, what Pocahontas is bringing, and she's like, I will feed you, clothe you, bring you into my community, literally do everything, and you motherfucker are just, you just have to exist, you just have to be a white man to be accepted. And like, even though they give him a little, you know, pushback, they do tie him up, which is funny, it's great, they should have, you know, kept that going a little longer, but I'm biased, though.
No, course. I mean, what's bothersome to me is that, like, literally, it kind of ties into, I mean, I can really only speak for Mexican culture, where, like, going after a rich white guy is, like, this mejorando la raza bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's perpetuating such a stupid notion.
And it's taken so many years of undoing in our culture, honestly.
That is nowhere near done.
It's nowhere near done. And everyone is at a different level of that. Or maybe some people never got out of that. But it's super present. And what we know, because it's all we can speak of, is, like, Mexican-American culture, is that, like, that's a thing that they do, that Latinas do. They actively seek white men. And it's different if you, like, just fall in love and you guys, like, have everything in common. But I doubt that you have racism. Well, you know what? There's a lot of racism in common between white Mexicans and white people, because you're both white.
Hey, not that much.
No, I mean, hey, we're both light-skinned. So I'm talking about, like, those people. If you're a racist white person, of course you're going to get along with another racist white person.
Yeah.
And I see that a lot in our culture, is that doesn't matter if you're like light skinned or if you're just like, you know, regular, I guess, I don't know, people who consider themselves white, who are dark as fuck. We see this in our culture. It's super normal, and it's just, it shouldn't be. And it's taken so many decades of unlearning, and we had to unlearn this when we were probably children, but it's not fucking easy. It's just so normalized in our fucking society.
For sure. It's but upset. Yeah, I mean, in general, like, Pocahontas was disappointing to rewatch at this point. And of course, they had the queer villain. And it's just sad. Like, fucking shit. And the sequel is even worse. I'm not even going to touch on that at all.
Oh, I never even wanted to watch that, so...
Yeah, you're good.
I'm super Gucci on that. I mean, but let's be real. Pocahontas is, like... it just bangs, okay? The fucking soundtrack to Pocahontas is the reason we all go back, okay? Because that shit... Look. Problematic as fuck, but Painting with All the Colors of the Wind, like,
that's just, it's a beautiful track, it's a beautiful song, beautiful
fucking movie.
Just wish it wasn't for a white man.
Yeah, like, not just what's the other one where she's like on the fucking boat in the opening, like, I can't, the whole fucking thing bangs, like, it's a good ass album.
Yeah. Great soundtrack.
Great soundtrack.
Good job.
The soundtrack gets 5 funduses, like,
word.
The movie, no.
Word, no. Word, word.
But
word.
I will watch it again for the soundtrack.
Yeah.
But yeah. But moving on to something way better.
Yeah.
Do we want to go into the OG, the best movie?
Let's talk about Mulan.
Oh, Mulan, y'all. Okay. If you haven't seen Mulan, stop right now. Stop what you're doing and go watch Mulan, because... You know what? We complain about that we don't get female action heroes. That, like, bitch, what? Mulan is the first one. Look.
We don't, by the way, we don't. But we have one that we can praise up and down.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, we praise Mulan to this day. She's a fucking queer fucking icon superhero goddess. Like, we stand Mulan on this podcast, because rewatching it at 20 fucking seven, this movie is still amazing. It, she's still fucking with every single gender norm, gender expectation, where she's supposed to be in society as a woman, what that means back in the 1600s or whenever the fuck this was, supposedly it's fictionalized, doesn't matter. Versus now, I don't feel like there's too much of a difference of what's expected from women of color. Like,
for sure. Yeah. I mean, literally all throughout the, especially the beginning of the movie, is honor your family, honor your family. That's literally code for find a husband. That's the only thing that honor means and
not
to
just,
them.
Not just that, like literally in the beginning of the movie, she's listing out things that they expect of women. It's like quiet, demure, graceful, polite, refined, poised. What?
Yeah.
They want the bitch to be quiet and subservient. That's what they really want. And
they want a statue.
They want a statue, a really, really pretty statue that serves you food and tea the exact way you're supposed to. And if that shit ain't triggering and true to being Latina or a woman of color, I don't know what the fuck is. Like, your whole existence is to serve another person, mm-hmm. whether it's your man or the white man. Your whole existence is meant to serve someone else. Mm-hmm. Like, there's this matchmaking scene where she meets the matchmaker at the very beginning. She's in white face. She's in this super tight fucking girdle thing. And she's still looking fly, right? But this isn't who Mulan is. And yeah. The whole time, like, she's just... It's this constant idea that you have to be white. You have to be whatever a man deems attractive. And it's also that the women are upholding the patriarchy.
Straight up. What we talked about earlier. It's mm-hmm. the women being the ones to, like, perpetuate it. They're the vessel through which the patriarch lives. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty sad.
It's really fucking sad.
But, like, there was, like, I don't know. It was so interesting to watch it. I think a lot of it read as either queer or trans a lot of the time to me. At one point she sings, like, being myself will break my family's heart, and I think that's the queerest thing ever, because, like, I remember, like, feeling those exact things for a very long time, like being truly myself. And then the part that read as queer to me was when she literally sings the very iconic song and she's like, when will my reflection show who I am inside? Like, there's not that every single trans person doesn't think what they look like is trans or who they are, you know what I mean? But in that reads trans to me, like, she doesn't see, like, who she is inside. And that's incredibly beautiful to see on screen, you know, for whoever it is that's watching it.
It's so empowering. Like, and I think back, I think it's so fucking political and revolutionary for, like, little girls to watch Mulan, because the men in this movie are still men. They're still, you know, like, they're problematic, but at the same time, what you're seeing is a woman thrive in male dominated spaces. And yes, she does have to dress up as a dude, but that's fine. She probably feels comfortable.
They use the word cross-dressing in this. Did you notice that?
I did. I found some problematic things in there. They call people sissies. They call people I think there was a point where, like, oh, you're fancy, like, the dragon, the fucking, what's his name?
But, you know, I think these things are, like, on purpose. It's like,
oh yeah,
they're meant to be, like, seen as these critical voices, and she's supposed to be the one that conquers them. So, like, they're problematic because they're supposed to be, you know what I mean? So I think it's not, like, problematic for the movie. It's just they're problematic people within it,
and yeah, that's portrayed. And that's what I think is better. Like, I did see, I was like, whoa, I'm seeing a lot of, like, gay things now that I of course I didn't see as a child, but now I'm like, oh, the adults were, like, making everything was, like, a joke, like, the queerness right. was a joke, but at the same time the men weren't actually stereotypes of masculinity. They attempted to do those things, right. Remember, everything was like when Ping Mulan goes to the fucking training camp with all the men, all of them are, like, performing masculinity, and I think it's hilarious because all of them are attempting to be the strongest, you know, I'm king of the rock dudes. Mm. But at the same time, all of them are, like, deeply sensitive and kind of caring and nurturing in their own way,
right? Know? They literally talk about how, like, oh yeah, men, like, or the dragon, he tells Mulan, he's like, men don't need hygiene, they don't give a damn about that. And you see all these men just jump in the bath, they're ready to take a shower, yeah. They're ready to get clean. And then a super quick note on to continue my evidence for the trans thing is that the father and I think the mother, when they realize that Mulan is gone, they say revealing her gender could literally get her killed. And that's so true to the trans experience even today. So that was really interesting to read now. But yeah, I love that they even with the men, they managed to like turn gender on its upside down. In fact, Chifu, who is he's not really like a main villain, but he is like he's a semi antagonist in it, and he's also an effeminate like nuisance who's portrayed as like the super uptight, like an unkind guy a lot of the time. So I think that's the one thing that I don't like, is that the one dude who's like
kind of femme,
he's effeminate or what, like super effeminate, like more than the others, he's like the guy that you're supposed to like really dislike. He's like
you don't hate him, you're just like, but you annoyed. Make
fun of him,
you're annoyed, and yeah, he's a joke,
and like, yeah, it's like, so it's still problematic in that, but it's not as bad as the others.
What I thought was interesting though, he's not as bad as like other Disney movies, but that's the thing, all of the men are like performing masculinity, every single man in this movie, and I think that's an interesting thing to see, like if you're a little boy, like, because what you're seeing is that all of them are actually breaking that at the end, the very end of this movie. What saves them is that they all dress up as women, and none of them
that was great.
None of them are opposed to it, they're like, that's a good idea. You know, they're not too macho to be like, oh, I can, they're like, fuck it, it doesn't make me less of a man to wear a dress. And I thought that was really, really, like, a game changer for children, you know? Like, and not just that. Even Mushu, who's, like, upholding all this, like, gender, you know, bullshit. Like, he's very performative as well. At the same time, like, he was the one nurturing Mulan while she was in the training camp. He's over here making her breakfast. My favorite fucking thing out of this whole movie that I watch it for every time is where he goes, like, there goes my little warrior.
Yeah.
Have to kill people. I love you, baby. She's over there with the sword. And I'm just like, yeah, Mr. You know, I'm Mr. Man. You know, even Mushu was upholding some kind of, but it's performative.
Right.
When no one's watching, he's nurturing.
Yeah.
And Mulan, you know, when everyone's watching or when no one's watching, she's still strong. She's a strong, I hate to say that, strong female lead. But, and she's not just that, she's an action hero. You know, like, we always talk about, oh, we didn't, bitch, Mulan is a fucking action hero. This is an action movie for little girls. And the fact that none of these men are actually, like, assholes, they all turn out to be, like, good dudes that don't give a fuck about gender, the best part.
Yeah. See, that's what happens when you get exposed to strong women. You, like, become a less shitty person.
Oh, dude, there's one thing I want to talk about. So when they're singing about, like, finding the perfect woman.
I love that scene. And my perfect big boy said that he doesn't care as long as she
cooks.
And it's, like, it's cute because she's like, oh, yeah, I don't care what she looks like as long as she cooks good food.
Chicken,
and it's, like, it sucks that she has to be, like,
pork.
Right. It sucks that, like, she has to be, like, the cooking wife or whatever the fuck. But I love him. He's cute. He's my big boy.
He's very nurturing. He's
identified
with
him.
He's very, very sweet. And all he wants is, like, a good meal. Which, honestly, who does not relate to that? He's just like, I don't care. Can she cook, though?
I can see him being, like, you know, like, sharing the duties and also cooking as well. So
he's, like, ideal co-parent. The rest of them seem like you'd have to, like, really teach them. But they
would put in that emotional labor.
Yeah, a lot of emotional labor, but I feel like they'd eventually get there. No, but my other favorite part is when Mulan, like it pans to her singing and like about what she wants, and she's like, I don't care as long as she's smart and caring and understanding. And then she looks off into like the crowd of women, and they blush when they see her, and I was like, I die every time.
She looks away and stuff.
She blushed so hard. I was like, bisexual queer queen.
Yes,
we love it.
We wish.
I don't know. It's that scene. I go back to it every time. And then come on, her boyfriend.
Yeah, I'm gonna
her queer boyfriend as well.
Go on about Shang real quick.
Shang, okay, we get it, boo. You have a lot of pressure on you, okay? Your dad is like, you have to be a perfect warrior. I get it, boo. You're going through a lot.
He's like what they wanted John Smith to be, but I'm like, you did not achieve that. John Smith was a little piece of shit. Shang is kind of cool.
Shang is kind of cool because not only does he have a crush on what he thinks is a man, he's into like a strong man. Like, a strong, caring, understanding man who's smart as fuck. And the thing is that at the end of this, he ended up seeing Mulan as like a full being. Outside of her just being a hot chick, she was a full being. She was smart. She was a great warrior. She could think on her feet. You know, like, he was attracted to a real human being, not the idea of a human being.
A concept.
A concept. Men, stop being trash. Love the whole woman. And I love that, like, he's like a queer, they're both like a queer couple in love. Like, honestly. I'm in, those are the only, well, they're not straight, but they're the only
that's the only
girl boy pairing,
female pairing.
Yeah, like girl boy pairing I'm into because they're both queer and
it's honestly, just so casual. Like, fucking A, like maybe Mulan doesn't even fall up like into that binary. She's non-binary.
She's a non-binary.
Maybe she's trans. I don't know. Honestly,
we're waiting for her to self-define.
It could have gone. It could have gone that way. Mulan read it very trans to me and sometimes queer to me. So maybe today.
Like, and that's the thing. Like, queer people can like whatever you want. She's there for you. Like, Mulan, like...
open to interpretation.
Urban, yeah, like, for me, I'm like, cool. Like, she's queer. She feels non-binary. Like, me, I was like, cool. Like, we're the same. But if you're trans, you're like, we're the same. There's just so much there so about, cool. like, finding your inner power and it not being about, like... You know, she just wanted to save her father's life. Like, it all stemmed for the love she has for her father. She couldn't give him, you know, the perfect... what he thought was perfect, but she gave him what he needed. You know, she's like, this is what you really need. You need me to go fight for you, my man, because you got a busted leg. I have to do this for you.
My man's.
Selfless ass, caring goddess queen Mulan. Perfect movie. Perfect hero.
Almost perfect movie. I have to say.
Oh, yeah. There's that. Yeah.
I have to say, we got to talk about the Huns in the room.
Oh, man.
So, like, they call them bad. The Mongolians. That's what they call them. Obviously... It's going to be a problematic thing to just be like, oh, Mongolians are horrible and they look really weird, you know, according to this film. So I actually went and did some research on that because I'm like, I don't know how they feel about it. Mm-hmm. And I think like somebody went on like Quora and asked the question, like, Mongolians, like, how do you feel about this portrayal? And the answers kind of varied a lot. Some people were like, you know what, like, I thought it was a good movie. Like,
no.
And yeah. Then others were like, the most annoying thing was that it was historically inaccurate. What the Huns were actually based on, like, wasn't just Mongolians, right? Like, they just kind of threw that word on there because, like, shit gets a little lost in history. And I think, like, I saw that, like, some people do think, like, it's probable that Mongolians were... descended from the Huns, but that's not like a 100% thing, and it's, you know what I mean, like, it was just inaccurate.
Oh, yeah.
Historically,
that's a fact.
Honestly, if they had just kind of like called them the Huns and left out the Mongolian part, that would be nice. The reason that this actually came up is because they're remaking Mulan, as many of you know, but taking out a lot of key aspects that make the first one special. But we'll see how it goes. Can't really judge it yet. But that's the reason that question came up, because they're like, are you going to still do that? Are you going to still talk shit on these Mongolians who are, you know, they're just the Huns?
There's this whole other running theory about who wrote Mulan and how he parted ways with Disney so they can't actually remake Mulan to be exactly the way he made it because he took it with him. There's some like rumor with like that. This is all allegedly Disney. Allegedly,
I think that that's fine. I think that it doesn't have to be the same thing. They've already remade Mulan.
I just don't want her to be like. I don't want it to be where like she's just like in love with Shang and that's the movie. Like, that's bullshit. That was like super subplot. It happened at the very last moment, but it made sense. Mm-hmm. But it was not about that. Like, right. She's just a bad bitch.
Agreed.
Like, love her.
I hope that they don't mess it up. But there's already a live action Mulan. That you guys can go watch. Just go watch that. But so I'm okay with whatever they end up doing with the new movie. But of course, I just hope that they stay away from the little problematicness with Chifu and stay away from saying Mongolians are ugly and horrible. That would be cool.
Yeah. Just say those dudes specifically killing people. Yeah. They're pretty trash. This is a serious movie, actually.
This is a very serious movie.
Serious movie. Because the stakes are so much higher in Mulan versus like Beauty and the Beast. Like, it's like talking about like genocide, basically. Like, and she can get fucking killed at any moment. Like, Mulan, they're not playing this game out here. Like, they almost kill her like a couple times in this movie just because she's a woman. Like, the father is like, no, they'll kill her if they were, you know. And then when they finally do discover her gender, like, he,
her wits is the only reason she gets out of it. She just saved his life.
Yeah, that's it. Or else he would have he would have killed his own boo thing. Like, what kind of trash shit is that? Because she's a woman. Mm-hmm. Like, the stakes are actually kind of realistic to me, because it is like that. Like, if you get found out to be a woman, it's, you out of here, boo. You gone.
If you get found out to be trans, also, like,
you out of here, boo. Like, you gone.
That stuff, it's really real.
Yeah. So that's why
I'm glad that they portrayed it, like, correctly, I think.
The seriousness of that is really important. So, that's what I'm saying. Like, we've been had action stars, okay? Mulan is the OG one, okay?
But so, yeah, I mean, this one, I would say, like, no cafecitos on this. Like, I've said my piece on the problematic elements of it. I think for the most part, it's a fucking amazing film.
For the things that we always watch and want in a movie, yes, it's 5 pan dulces. Because a boss-ass bitch fucking just saving everyone's life, saving the whole entire country. Get the fuck out of here.
When every single time that the emperor says, you save China, like, I get, like, the shivers up the ass, man. Like, it's crazy.
Like, imagine, like, a woman being allowed to be a hero. A concept. But, yeah, it's a perfect movie. Recommend it to your little daughters. If you're a boy, if you have children that are young boys, make them watch this movie too.
All your children should see this.
All the children's, whatever they identify as.
It holds up.
Make them watch this. Mm-hmm. Ugh, so good.
So, so, so good.
So good.
Whew. Disney. I've been wanting to talk about this for a long time. I think, like, it was so important in my formative years. You know, like, watching, even the guys of, I didn't fail to identify with the guys, super or not superheroes, but just heroes in the Disney films. I always just wanted to be the person that saved the world, you know. So
we finally got that in a movie.
Yeah, Mulan was the shit. I remember that was one of my favorites, especially with all that was another one that had a badass soundtrack.
Oh, look, that soundtrack bangs so motherfucking hard. Like, I cannot. When she chops off her hair, it's like some fucking, like, synth. Fucking future wave shit. It's fucking sick. It's amazing. I just, it's so serious. It's a beautiful movie. 5 panuzas. Like, it's as good as Musita and Mari. Like, I love it.
Good shit. And with that, I guess we're gonna move on to some other probably less content filled movies, such as, like we mentioned earlier, Moana, Hunchback of Notre Dame, Beauty and the Beast, a couple of other things that we're gonna talk about on our Patreon episode. If you guys want to check that out, we're going to release it 1st of January on patreon.com/CYC podcast. And yeah, it's not expensive. But if you don't want to do that, totally understand. Totally fine. Just go leave us a review. That's going to help us a fuck ton.
Yes, 5 stars, por favor. And then let us know and we'll send stickers.
Yeah, let us know if you leave a review. We'll hook you up for sure. Follow us on everything, CYC podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Facebook, you can find us at CYC Pod, and you can also rate and review us there. We're on Stitcher and iTunes and Spotify and all that stuff. And if you guys have comments on anything that we said during this episode,
if we missed anything, let us know.
Like, talk to us about it, like, on Twitter, on my personal NYTE Panda, if you'd like, or your personal.
Yeah, it's at Fried Papita, and Twitter. Just let us know. We're all ears. Look, if I miss something, I'm super interested in that. Send it over.
Definitely. I want to know if you guys agree with some of these readings, especially rewatching them as adults.
Yeah, that's real. Yeah.
And so if Patreon supporters, follow up with us on January 1st to hear the rest of what we have to say about these other Disney movies. And we adore and love you guys.
Yes, you guys are the fucking best. We stan.
Thanks for the listens, and I hope you guys had a great December. All the holidays, whatever. All holidays. It is
December's coming, New Year's is coming up. Be safe.
We'll see you next year.
See you next year.
Bye.